As a small business owner, have you ever felt overwhelmed by the pressure of choosing the right hire or leading a team? Or have you ever found yourself tolerating a bad hire because you fear trying and failing again as you repeat the hiring process? If so, you're not alone, and you are in the right place. Welcome to the Growing Your Team podcast. The Growing Your Team podcast teaches business owners like you to expand your unique business by teaching you to master the hiring and team management process. Hiring and managing a team does not have to be a challenge. You just have to learn to do it right. And the Growing Your Team podcast teaches you how to become a confident leader who hires right every single time. Now, let's jump into the show where each episode you will learn tips on how to identify what type of help you need on your team, how to source amazing candidates, how to conduct interviews that lead you to your ideal team member, how to onboard successfully, and how to lead every person in your business so you have a team of rock stars who you are happy to pay every single paycheck. So let's jump in and teach you how to hire like a pro. Hello, Jimmy Van Kuyk here, and welcome back to the Growing Your Team podcast. Today, I have on guest Abby Gallo. Abby is the CEO of Terrain Bookkeeping. As a QuickBooks Advanced Pro Advisor, she specializes in helping consultants and marketing and creative agencies gain greater profitability. Her firm manages all of your regular financial needs so you can focus on what you do best, running your business and delivering results for your clients. Abby talks about the importance of working in your zone of genius and why knowing your numbers can help your business grow and thrive. Today, Abby and I are talking about just that. We're talking about knowing your numbers so you can feel confident about hiring team members and paying those team members appropriately. So we're going to dive into some tools and tricks and how to really feel confident when you go to hire or give your team members pay increases. This is the perfect timing for this episode because on episode 220 with Marcel, we talked about knowing data for profitability measures. With episode 222 with Mike, we talked about profit first and preparing for hiring and knowing that you have money in the right bucket so you can afford it. So the conversation with Abby brings all that together so we can really make sure you feel confident with your numbers so you can hire successfully, get the right people on your team, and pay those people appropriately so they feel valued for the work that they do. So let's jump into the conversation with Abby so you can confidently hire and pay your team so you can stay in your zone of genius and deliver great results for your clients. Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Growing Your Team podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamie. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited for this conversation. But before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your business?
Sure. So my name's Abby Gallo. I'm the founder and CEO of Terrain Bookkeeping. And we're a bookkeeping firm that works with consultants and marketing and creative agencies primarily, but a whole host of service-based businesses to help them really understand their numbers. You know, we take all of the nitty-gritty details of your QuickBooks account from entering in the income and the expenses and translate that into easy to understand financial reports and information that business owners can use to make important decisions in their business. So we like to say that we take the bookkeeping burden off the shoulders of business owners who their time is better used elsewhere within their business, right? Whether it's supporting their clients or supporting their team, working in the books is probably not the best use of their time. So we help them take that off their shoulders and then also guide them through what their numbers are telling them and how they can use them to improve their business and increase their profits.
Yes. Yeah. I think the numbers are something I absolutely love. I love looking at my numbers. I love getting in there, but every year I'm just like, wow, I didn't know that about bookkeeping or accounting, because something new comes up in my business and I'm just like, oh my gosh, the time and effort it takes to figure this out and then go make sure I have everything correct for the entire year and all this stuff. I'm just like, there is so much that I don't know that I don't know. And as your business grows and gets more complex, like there's so many more layers that I'm just like, all right, it's about time to trust someone else to do this. And even though I like the numbers, I can look at them. I don't have to be touching them.
Yes. No, I think that's so true. It's one of those fields where things are always changing. There's always more to learn and there's always more and more complicated scenarios that can come up. So that's why oftentimes it's easier to have somebody else sort of step in who's in it daily, you know, working in accounting and bookkeeping, who's on top of what's going on and hasn't encountered these situations before, rather than trying to troubleshoot or figure it out yourself on the fly and take that time to learn it yourself. Sometimes it's easier to just plug and play with somebody else coming in to help. So I totally get that.
Yeah. And especially someone else that can really help you understand the numbers instead of just knowing what those numbers are. Because I feel like sometimes I'm like, okay, yep, I know what that number is. I know what my revenue is. I know what my expenses are. But do I actually understand them? Do I know if they are where they should be or how to maximize them, how to change things, like to be able to identify things that might be holding me back or where I could be putting more effort in to grow the business that I want. And like, I don't look at them that way. I just look at them for they are what they are. They are that number. I make sure my expenses aren't exceeding my revenue. And that's about it.
Yeah. No, I think that's one of the things we help our clients with is we either meet with our clients regularly via Zoom or we record Loom videos for them, depending on what their preference is. And through that, we help share, you know, this is what we see going on. This is a watch out. Here's where your profit margin is. Here's where we'd like it to be. And then we also meet with clients who are interested in digging into the profitability of their offers and or their retainers with clients. So we'll take a look at even their time tracking, if they're tracking their time, which I recommend everybody does.
Yes. And
we'll take a look at that and see, you know, are you really making money on this offer? Is your price really right? And then, you know, how much time is your team spending on this client, all of that. And that has been really eye-opening for a lot of our clients to see like, oh, I'm really not making that much on this client at the end of the day, because we're spending so much time on it, or I'm spending my own time on it. And so we help our clients work through all that too.
Yes. Well, I think that's such an important thing. I was actually just having a conversation earlier this week with a sales consultant that I work with. And part of the reason I was just working with her that day, like one of the things we're talking about is like, okay, I have this meeting coming up and I also had this person that requested a proposal. And one of the things I said, I was like, I need help making sure I'm putting together a proposal that's going to make it so I don't hate this client later. Because sometimes you're like, yeah, I'll do what you want. Here's a proposal for it. Sounds good on paper. And then when you actually start doing the work, you're like, oh my gosh, this is totally not worth what I'm getting paid. I should be charging them a lot more in order to feel like my time is actually being valued in this project.
Yes, I completely understand that. And I think sometimes it's trial and error, right? You don't know until you get into it how much time something's going to take you, if it's the first or, you know, first time you've offered it. But also we encourage our clients to price according to, you know, we call it a PETA fee. You know, if there's someone who's maybe going to be a little high maintenance or difficult to work with, maybe increase the price a little bit for them, you know, if you don't have it publicized, and make sure that it's going to be worth it for you so that you're not kicking yourself when you're down working on their account, you know, that you want to make sure that it's worth your time and that you feel like you're being compensated fairly for the work that you put into it.
Right. Exactly. Like I remember even someone saying, you sometimes when you have your hierarchies of packages, that one that's like, okay, that's my highest level. I'm willing to do it, but it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. So they're like, charge a super premium. So the people that say yes, you're like, all right, this might not be my favorite project to do, But because I'm getting paid that much, I am willing to do it. And I know that helps me a lot sometimes, like with setting my prices and everything for certain projects, where especially when they're out of the norm, it's like, okay, if you say yes, I know I'm getting paid at a level that is worth saying yes.
Yes, it's so funny you mentioned that, because I literally had a meeting with a client yesterday where we went over this. And she was asking me about her, she has three different tiers of offerings for her packages. She said, I have this one, it's a higher level tier. I don't want to do it. I would actually be a little upset if somebody said they wanted it because it's so much work. And I feel like I wouldn't really enjoy the work. And so I said, well, you know, what price would it have to be to make it worthwhile for you to actually deliver on this? Or is there a price where you could maybe bring on a contractor or somebody on your team to help support that work so that you don't have to deliver it yourself? And so she kind of appreciated that perspective that, oh yeah, I could charge more for that. Or maybe it's offering it at a higher level than your middle package so that there is sort of that, that higher anchoring of price anchoring, you know, where you've set the bar on what your services should be. And then you could pare it down a little bit, take out some of those things that aren't really of interest to you, but still have that higher offer available should anyone feel like they need sort of that elevated level of service.
Yeah. And I love that. And you said something so great in there that I definitely want to dive in more. It's pretty much along the lines of, you don't have to do it if you don't enjoy it, but it doesn't mean your company doesn't do it. It's you personally don't have to do it. And that was something I reminded myself, like back years and years ago, Grow Your Team wasn't offering any sort of recruiting support. We were just doing hiring guidance and education. But a lot of my clients were saying, but we want recruiting support. Okay, now we know how to hire well, but I'm at the point in my business where I don't have time to do it. And I'm not big enough yet to have an internal HR person help me with this early stages. Can you help me? Can you help me? And at first I was like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Especially at that point in time, I was just like flashing back to my corporate career where I felt like I was doing interviews all the time. And I'm like, I don't want to be doing interviews all the time. That's not really my zone of genius to be conducting an interview. Everything else around it, yes. The interview itself, no. I don't need to be there asking people questions. But people kept asking for it. And finally, one day I said, why do I have to be the person doing that in my business if people want it? Yes, I'm going to have to do it at first because, you know, being able to afford someone to hire and help with those packages and everything, I can't do that right now, but I can take on these projects for a bit of time and then eventually delegate the parts of that package that I don't want to do to somebody else. And so it's been a mix in those years. Sometimes I'm doing all the recruiting myself. Other times I have team members that are helping me out. Sometimes it depends on which project I say yes, that I will spend my time on and which ones I don't. And actually, because the fact that I'm not doing it all the time, I actually really enjoy the projects that I take on because I know I'm taking them on because I want them. I want to be a part of those interviews and really, as I say, playing detective with the candidates versus other ones where I'm just like, I don't need to be a part of those.
Right. I think that's huge when you're the business owner and you get to decide what you're going to work on and what you're not, right? And I think to your point about, you know, being able to not at first, you know, at first you're not able to hand that off to someone right away, in part because maybe you're not sure if you can afford to, but also, you know, you want to make sure you have your systems in place and your SOPs so that when you bring someone on, they're meeting your standards of what service you want to deliver for your client, right? And the framework or whatever it is that you typically work through, you want to have that kind of outlined. And so it may require doing it yourself a few times before you can really bring someone into the fold. But then, you know, I would encourage clients to make sure that eventually they're increasing their prices on this offer so that they are able to hire a team member. You know, if they're not jazzed about delivering it themselves, make sure you build that team member's cost into the product offering so that you're able to hand it off when it's time.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that because ideally, as we talk about a lot of times in businesses, You're the business owner, you're the CEO of your business, so your time's more of a premium. And if you look at cost per hour, your cost per hour is higher than probably any team member that you're bringing in, or at least that's your goal, even if you're not quite there being able to afford it yet. So I think sometimes we get stuck in this mindset of, if I can afford to do it and pay myself, I should be able to afford someone that's making less than me to be able to do it. And I think that sometimes, like maybe from my point of view, is not always right, because we forget that we still need to pay ourselves and our other bills, and maybe we're not actually paying ourselves what we're worth. So how do we make sure that we can afford the staff that's going to help us with these projects?
Yes, I think that's a great point. Well, first and foremost, I think it's making sure that you're charging enough for your services when it's just you, right? I think we get into this trap of thinking, oh, it's just me. I just need to cover my bills. And, you know, I only need to charge this much. And, you know, also when you're starting out, you're not totally comfortable in charging what others in the industry may be charging, because you're new to it and you're kind of, or at least new to your business. So I think making sure that you're taking into account and calculating how much time you're spending on your offers, so that you're able to see, okay, and putting that with your hourly rate or what you hope to make, right? So that's part of the calculation of your profitability of the offer. So if you are then stepping out of that client yourself, you're able to allocate that, what you're spending to pay yourself, towards that team member. And I think some of the things that we come up against with clients is that, you know, it's daunting to think about hiring a full-time salaried employee, right? That's like, oh gosh, I don't think I could do that. And for a lot of clients, that's not the right first step. It's maybe there's a contractor you could start with, depending on the role. Sometimes that's not an appropriate, role to hire. But maybe there is a part-time role, a part-time hourly role that you can start small with and then slowly increase over time as you have more work to do, as you're more comfortable with this team member and can pass more off to them. And that way you're also just getting your feet wet slowly and able to build on over time. I think one thing also that we encourage folks to do is to really create a budget. Rather than just saying, oh, I have this much money in my bank account, you know, I encourage our clients to plan out the year and factor in this new team member into their numbers to see whether or not they're able to do it, right? So adding in all of your anticipated income, what you expect to bring in sales for the year. Obviously, we don't have a crystal ball. It's never perfect. But mapping that out and then figuring out what your typical expenses are for the year, for each month, and then going in and adding in that team member and what they should be making each month. And we also recommend adding in an additional 12 to 15% for things like payroll fees, taxes, employer taxes, workers' comp, that kind of thing. So building that into your budget to see, okay, does this feel comfortable still? Am I still making enough profit in my business to pay myself? Or do I need to tweak some things? Do I need to maybe increase my sales in some capacity, whether it's bringing in more clients or charging more for the work that we're already doing? It just allows a sense of comfort in having that kind of mapped out so that clients can see, okay, like we can do this. We can add in this amount per month to our expenses and still be comfortable. And the other thing I encourage our clients to do also before they make this leap is to really figure out what the salary will be and have at least that much in a savings account for 2 months of their salary for your operating expenses. So you want to have whatever they're adding on to your operating expenses for each month, you want to have that in savings as well, and have at least that much in the pipeline coming in as well to cover the costs in the future.
Yes. Yes. There's so many great things that you said there that I want to kind of reiterate, because it's so important. It's first, let's start at the very end. having that buffer so you can pay that team member. One of the things I always say is we're looking to see what positions we should be bringing on and where's what's going to really bring value is that we should be bringing on positions that eventually pay for themselves in one way or another, directly or indirectly. Directly because they're the sales positions, they're the marketing positions and all those things where you can see those dollars coming in. They're this person that's working with a client. So you see those dollars directly tied to those positions. And then you have your indirect ones that are kind of maybe your backend admin, your bookkeeper, those other positions that take work off your plate, maybe help optimize things and everything, but they allow it so other people in the organization can go and directly bring in those dollars that are really going to help pay for their position. So, but that doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to hire someone on a Monday and by Friday be making up the money to pay that person. So having that buffer in the bank so you can cover a few months of expenses and you can see your projections out with your revenue to say, all right, I'm good and I can afford this person is something that you need to start with. It's where you're going to really feel comfortable to be able to say yes and you're going to be prepared and not be like a month in, you're like, how do I make payroll this month? Like, what am I going to do? So that is super important. The other thing I want to circle back on is just knowing your budget in general. There's so many times where I'm meeting with a new potential client and we go to talk about salary. And I was like, okay, well, what's your budget? And they're like, I have no idea.
Yes, that's so common.
What's the going rate for this position and things like that? And I'm just like, all right, you have to help me with some ballpark because the going rate could be so wide depending on are you looking for a beginner or are you looking for an expert? Are you looking for someone in between? Are you looking for this? Are you looking for that? Are you looking for full time? Are you looking for part time? So even if you don't know and you have to go and get outside help to find out what is the going rate for this position, you always have to know what you can afford in your budget. Because if I tell you the going rate is $90,000 a year and you're like, oh, well, I can only pay 30, that's a big disconnect. And then it's how do we get that $90,000 position down to the $30,000 position that you can afford without undercutting someone's pay, but making it so it's a position that matches your budget.
Exactly. And we encourage clients to go out and do that research on, or talk to an expert on how much is a competitive rate, you know, competitive salary or hourly rate for the role that you're hiring for. What's the range? And then play around with it when you're putting that in your budget and see what it would do to your numbers, you know, if you hire at that top tier with that full salary role or you know, what's the other scenario where you hire the part-time role that's an hourly role or something like that? So, having that information on what is a competitive rate is really helpful. But then, you know, I think it's sort of a trial and error with your budget to see how it impacts the bottom line.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I think one of the other things that you talked about that we just need to reiterate, so I think people really hear it, is you don't have to jump to full time. You don't need to go from just you to you and a full time person. Because the reality is, unless you're absolutely drowning in work and working 100 plus hours a week, you don't have enough right now for a full time team member. Unless you're looking to really step back and have this person come in be completely and you're just kind of like part time overseeing. But that's probably not right for your first employee. So the reality is, you don't have enough work for a full-time team member right away, unless you should have hired 3 years ago. So starting off part-time and having that position grow with your organization is typically the right move to make. Yes, this might mean that the person that you hire now is not going to be the person you need a year from now because they can't take on more hours or things like that. But you need to hire for what you need now and what you can afford now versus eventually full time. I think as we talked about on a recent podcast is like, could you imagine if an organization that had 1,000 employees all of a sudden said, we're going to double our workforce all in one day? It'd be like, oh my gosh, you're crazy. How are you going to train those people? How, like, where's that work going to come from and all that stuff? And think of it the same in a small business. If you go from one full-time employee you to two, that's doubling your workforce. It might
That's
not
such a good point.
seem as big when it comes to one to two versus 1,000 to 2,000, but it's still doubling your workforce. And that takes a lot of additional workflow in and processes and all that stuff to make it successful.
Yes, that's such a good point. I never thought about it from that perspective of it's essentially doubling, you know, your team, and it's a big leap. So I think having that incremental change over time can be really helpful and comforting, you know, to sort of test the waters. And also, I think for a lot of team members, you know, when you're bringing on someone to jump into what you've been doing, it's so helpful to have all those processes set up. And it can be hard to get everything for a full-time role down into your systems, you know, before they start. So sort of bringing it on, adding a little bit more to their plate each month can be a really good way to do it. So yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about preparing for that first team member. So we talked about having that buffer. Sometimes how can we, I guess for some businesses, they might be looking at it to say, how can I really create this buffer? Because they might be looking at it as, if I get help, I can take on more work. So that more work helps me pay for that team member. But right now I'm at capacity. So I can only take on so much work, which means maybe all my dollars are already being allocated someplace. So they feel like they're in this kind of like, I don't know, catch 22 type thing of, I need help so I can earn more money, but I can't hire the help until I earn more money.
Yes, I we've seen that at that that conundrum, right? I think it's important to start small by sort of adding to a small savings or rainy day fund for your business. And it may not be possible to set aside thousands immediately, but if you can start incrementally by reserving a certain percentage of your sales or whatever comes in each month to this separate fund or cushion for your business, it can add up over time and really be something that you can use to, you know, fund these future roles. So whether it's 1% or 5% of all the sales that you have coming in as clients pay you, setting that aside in a separate account can slowly help you build up your savings without feeling it too much, without feeling too much of a pinch in the organization. So I think it's really important, no matter whether you're planning to hire or not, to have that set aside, because you never know what could happen. And I think too often we're just making enough to pay ourselves and take care of our expenses and not really thinking about the long run and having that cushion for our business.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things when, if you're proactive about it, so it's kind of that whole thing of pay yourself first type mentality, that the revenue comes in, you take 1% and put it aside. You don't miss it as much as if you wait till all your expenses are paid for the month. And then you're like, okay, well, what's left over? Can I put anything left over? When you move it first, that money's not there for you to spend. So you actually save it.
Yes. There's a great book, which you may have read, called Profit First, that yes, talks about exactly that. And I encourage everyone to read it. It's by Mike Michalowicz. We're not Profit First advisors, but we do encourage our clients to read it because it is just a different way of looking at your business cash flow, where you do exactly what you said. You set aside these certain percents right from the get-go so that you don't feel like you're missing it, you know, and that can really be helpful. It's sort of like the equivalent of the envelope budgeting system, but for businesses, and just using actual checking or savings accounts instead of envelopes. But having it sort of set aside, it's almost out of sight, out of mind. You don't feel like you can spend it. You don't feel like you have it, but it's there in the back of your mind if you need it at some point.
Yes. And it's so funny that you brought up Mike, because as this episode is airing, Mike was just on the podcast 2 weeks beforehand. So if you're interested in learning more about the Profit First system, make sure you go listen to episode 222 and you can hear Mike. We talk about Profit First and of course his new book, All In.
That's amazing. I'll have to absolutely check that out.
Yes. So yeah. So this is like perfect conversation for that. So everyone can just really see the combination between those two episodes and how a lot of that philosophy matters and looks different, like slightly different as people explain it and everything. So I love it. I love this kind of continuation of a lot of that stuff that we talked about in that episode. Okay. One of the other things that you had mentioned was just kind of like looking at your overall budget and your forecasting and everything to kind of figure out what you can afford. And I absolutely love that, because this is the first year that I actually did something like that, because I have a goal of hiring an additional team member this year. And I kind of looked at it to say, all right, kind of doing a little bit of all the stuff we talked about. I want it to be X position. Okay, what does that position go for? What is the market rate? All right, it comes down to so much per hour. Okay, if I'm not going to go full-time right away for this type of position, it's going to be part-time. So if I'm looking at that hourly rate, what can I afford? What do I have to be bringing in? And kind of playing around with it, like if they're supporting these projects and I want them to be doing, let's say, 10 hours a week, how many projects do they need to be working on? Or what is their maximum of projects to be working on to fill 10 hours a week? All right, so if there's that, then I could then they'll be paid this. Can I afford that with that number of projects? And when can I afford to bring that team member on? And just looking at that, it really helped me map out the year of when, based on the growth that I'm hoping to see this year, when it's appropriate to bring on that team member. So that way I can be proactive with it. So if I know that I can afford this team member and have the work for this team member come July, I know how to proactively start the hiring process maybe in May or June so that person's on my team by July.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, no, that's exactly what we encourage clients to do is just that process of mapping it all out and taking a look at their offers and thinking, okay, of this offer that's coming in, how much do I anticipate? How many hours do I think that will take my team member to do? And how much do I plan to pay them? And then if I multiply those together, how much is that out of that client fee of what they're paying me and what's left over, right? We encourage our clients to have for their team to not be more than 50% of their sales, if possible. If they're an LLC and they're taking owner's draws, we want their team to be 50% or less, usually 30 to 50% of their sales. So that can kind of help guide, well, do I have to maybe charge more for this offer? Or maybe I can't afford this team member quite yet, or maybe I need to kind of reduce their hourly rate. And playing around with it is really the best way to do it. And breaking out an old-fashioned Excel spreadsheet can really be helpful and reassuring, I think.
Yeah, it can. Like for one of my other team members that I have right now who's part-time, I was also thinking about, I was like, I would like to expand her hours, give her more hours, and started looking at like she's a marketing team member. So obviously her work directly impacts me being able to achieve those revenue goals and sales goals and everything I have this year. So, but it also just kind of helped look at that correlation between the two. All right, if when can I afford to give her more hours? When does it show that I'm getting the good return on the investment for what I'm already paying for, and then be able to invest more and things like that. So, getting out that old Excel spreadsheet, looking at numbers, projecting things out really helped me do a lot of planning. I feel like this is the first year that I have a lot more clarity of when to hire versus I know the position, but now the financial part along with it. I know when my finances are. And also, I felt like that really empowered me because let's say this year doesn't go as planned and things are lower. Okay, well, now I know that maybe I can't hire for that position that I wanted to in July and I need to adjust if I'm going to be financially strong throughout the rest of the year. Or if things move faster than I expected and my revenue is growing quicker, I can move up that hire because I've already looked at to say, this is the trigger point. This is when I can afford to bring that team member in. This is when I need to bring that team member in versus always being reactive to say, I am drowning. Can I do it? Can I afford it? Oh my goodness, I can't afford it, but what do I do? Because I need the help. I'm super stressed out and everything.
Yes, no, planning it out is huge, and I think having it so that you can adjust things over time is key. We encourage our clients to create multiple budget scenarios, or we help them do that. So we have kind of a best case scenario where you're bringing in all the sales and you can hire this team member at the level you really want. And then we have kind of a baseline scenario where it's kind of business as usual, or maybe one or two adjustments. And so you can change things over time and go with one scenario versus another, or just change whatever existing budget you're working with based on the fact that you know that the sales aren't coming in, or that they're be higher or sooner than you thought.
Yeah, I love it all. Okay, so I have one more question or one more thing I want to dive into before we wrap up for today. So we talked a lot about this about hiring. A lot of these concepts really seem to fall Well, in a way, they translate to the other position I want to talk about, but fall, it's a lot of that individual contributor, the person who's actually going to be doing the work on that project. But eventually, your business grows to the point where you need management level staff as well that's helping to oversee those projects. So how does that play into there when you're looking at what you can afford and what you can't afford? When you're looking at that percentages that we talked about, is that management level staff falling into that 30 to 50%? Is that a cost that is in addition to that, so going into that other 50 to 70%? Where does that fall in?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is where a lot of people struggle, right? I think it's hard to bring on management staff for a number of reasons, especially, you know, when you're a small business. First, because it's to some extent letting go of things that you yourself have been doing as the business owner, whether it's client management, you know, account management for your clients, or team management. You know, you have these relationships with these folks, and so you're kind of passing them off to somebody else, and you want to make sure that you can trust them or that they know the right process. You want to make sure that the people you've built these relationships with are in good hands. So that's right. Just mentally something, it's hard to let go of those things sometimes. And then the other thing is that we talked about how when you're starting out as a solopreneur, you're maybe not charging enough for your services. And as we add on team members, we do have to increase the cost of our offer, the price of our offers, to build in those other team members. So that 30 to 50% does include that account management level as well. And so really building that into your offer, sure, it may be more than what your client was paying before, what your previous clients were paying, but they're also getting a higher level of service by having more people, you know, serving their account. So I think that all has to be taken into consideration. You don't want to be in a position where you're eating into your own salary and pay to pay your team members. Sure, they may be taking some of the work off your plate. So when you think about it from an hourly perspective, you know, you may be spending less time working on the direct client work or, you know, team management, but you still are running the business and, you know, doing sales or what CEO tasks. So you do need to be able to cover yourself as well. You don't want to work backwards and pay yourself less, right? So continuing to increase your prices as you build in layers of your team is something we encourage our clients to do.
Yeah. And I think if you look at it from like this one perspective is if your business is at the point where you can start having that middle manager between you and your team members or you and your client, it's most likely because you have more clients or more team members than you can really dedicate the time to. So it's not like you're having the projects that you would do as a solo entrepreneur and only that number of projects, and you're trying to figure out how do I fit all these costs in? But instead of having maybe three projects you work out at a time, your company might have 20 projects that are working on at a time. So those costs get spread out across all those projects. Your pay gets spread out between all those projects versus just having it be the subset of projects that you are working on yourself.
Right. That's so true.
Yeah. So you mentioned something, and I just want to get your opinion on this. You said you have to make sure that you're still able to pay yourself and you're not, you know, going backwards. Do you feel like there's ever an appropriate time for to say, this needs to happen in my business. I need to spend this money. I am willing to take a temporary cut in my pay in order to do it. Because if it works out, I should be back to paying myself what I was at or more in 6 months or a year from now. You know, should we ever be dipping into our pay for the possible benefit of our business?
That's a great question. So I think there's two ways of looking at it. So I think that as long as it's temporary, then, you know that eventually this team member will be contributing in a way that will help increase the revenue work so you can get back to where you were. Then I think it's fine. But also, you know, maybe you're considering scaling back entirely, or, you know, you want to be out of client work and you don't want to be doing any of that. If you feel that it's, you know, there's no 100% right answer. If you feel that it's the right move for your business and you just can't do the client work anymore, you're burnt out for whatever reason, then maybe it is the right move for your business, right? I think everyone has their own needs to meet, and your business is there to serve you. So if it's not serving you, then you have to make adjustments accordingly so that you aren't just throwing in the towel, right? You want to be sure that you can sustain it for a long time. And if working or doing the work that you've been doing or that this team member will be doing is burning you out, then, you know, bringing them on, even if it means cutting back a little bit on what you're paying yourself, sometimes isn't a bad decision.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, yeah, as you said, it's all about looking at what are your goals? What are you doing? Is it temporary? Is it something that, you know, maybe you do cut back because you're no longer going to be working full time in this business and you're going to go on a different business venture. And it makes sense for you not to be taking that same salary when you're not the one in there day to day. So yeah. I think that's a good perspective, is you really need to look big picture, full circle at everything that's going on and making sure you're making decisions that benefit you versus harm you long term.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's a great point.
All right, Abby, we have to wrap up for today. So tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. So they can find me on LinkedIn at Abby R. Gallo or Terrain Bookkeeping. And then we're also on Instagram at Bookkeeper for Agencies. And I was going to say .com, but our URL is terrainbookkeeping.com. So they can find us on our website as well.
Perfect. And all those links will be over in the show notes on growingyourteam.com. All right. My final question that I love to ask all my guests, we've all had leaders or managers that have stood out to us. Think of a leader or manager that has stood out to you and share one thing about them.
Sure. Her name was Lucy, or is Lucy. And this was my first role right out of college. She owned a boutique agency in New York City, and she took me under her wing and really introduced me to folks within the industry and taught me that it's really important to have peers within your industry that you can go to, you know, when you're having trouble in your business or when you need to share best practices or just for that sense of camaraderie. And, you know, it was very encouraging, somehow trusted me right out of college to execute the work with her clients and, you know, without too much micromanaging. And I think that that was really a really good example for me to see. And so she was known as a leader in her industry, and I learned a lot from her on what it takes to run a small agency and what the downsides are, what the pitfalls can be, and then also, you know, how you can persevere. So I think I learned a lot from that role, and I really admire her still.
That's good. That's so great to hear. All right, Abby, thank you so much for joining us today on the Growing Your Team podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamie. It's been fun.
Are you ready to hire a new team member for your business and you want to ensure you hire the person who can succeed in the role, make you happy, and positively impact your bottom line? Then let's talk and see how growing your team can help you master the art of hiring. Through bespoke hiring frameworks and comprehensive guidance, you will learn how to attract candidates who have the passion you desire and the skills needed to succeed. At Growing Your Team, women entrepreneurs and leaders work with us to help them expand their unique businesses by teaching them how to hire like a pro. Let's connect and see how we can help you. Send me an email at jamie@growingyourteam.com. That's Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, @growingyourteam.com, or head on over to growingyourteam.com/jumpstart, with jumpstart being all one word, and let's talk about how you can become a confident leader who hires right every single time.